Welcome to the Healthy Anger Toolbox. I'm Marty Wollner. I'm so grateful to have Andrea Mason from AndreaMasons.com with me here today as we talk about more healthy anger tools. And welcome, Andrea. I'm just so grateful and appreciate you joining us as a social worker, a motivational speaker, and a personal coach. You have such wisdom and insight around our topic of forgiveness today. And so, again, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Marty. Thank you so much for having this. I love the name of it, Healthy Anger Toolbox, because we all have these tools inside. It's just a matter of selecting the right tool at the right time. Thank you. It's not a privilege to be here.
So I've been looking a little bit at your story and some of your journey through some of your content. I'm so inspired by the organization that you're with, and some of, again, your journey is just so inspiring, and I just so appreciate connecting with that.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. My mission and my message is to just allow people to achieve personal freedom through the healing power of forgiveness. It's such an amazing component that is significant in any realm of life, whether it be that of success, progression, relationships, in the workplace, in our families. And it's, like you had mentioned, it is an understatement. It's an emotion and a tactic that we rarely use, whether it be pride-stricken or giving the other permission that what they have done or the incident or occurrence that has occurred, okay. And it's not a matter of forgetting, it's a matter of forgiving. And when we forgive, we not only learn from the lesson, but most importantly, we forgive ourselves.
Wow. And so that's so powerful in terms of helping and supporting people in terms of their ideas and beliefs around forgiveness and the value and benefits of forgiveness. And I know you've worked with a lot of people directly, and in terms of supporting them to understand the value to them about what in forgiving either themselves or for others, but how it helps them in terms of what value to both their brains and their bodies and their whole in terms of their identity and who they are. And I know you've connected with a lot of people around that.
Absolutely. A brief back history, I was born in Colombia, South America during the cartel, war-torn drug zone era at its prime. My parents had to give me up for adoption and sent me to the promised land, that of America. Upon arrival, I was welcomed unconditionally with open arms and love of my adoptive parents. And I was only 11 months old at 11 pounds. And that struck a chord with me during my childhood. Although my parents had given me the blessing and letting me know that I was adopted, and that any time when I was ready to read documents or find my parents, they were completely 100% supportive, I still to this day look in the mirror and wonder who I look like. And at many times I did struggle with abandonment. I did struggle with fitting in, coming to America with my limited different physical features, emotional features, the way I spoke. And in doing that, I had to forgive. When you're a child growing up in society and you're getting bullied for your uniqueness and your differences, shoved into lockers, thrown into garbage cans, sitting in the bathroom, just waiting for lunchtime to be over so you can go back to class, so you're protected, it's no wonder why I didn't think I fit in or anybody would love me when my parents didn't love me. I didn't conceptualize or really truly understand until I became a parent that was a sacrifice to give me a chance, to give me a better life. And that took a toll on me throughout my relationships and my careers, because I had that abandonment issue that once I got that ability to get close to somebody, I would self-sabotage because I didn't think I was deserving of it. And although we see forgiveness as a tool that can help us still we have that external influences that say, well, if you forgive, then you're saying it's okay for what has happened. And on the contrary, that is not at all what it is. It is forgiving and forgiving, like you said, yourself, and giving the power and permission to not let that happen again.
So you talk about that power, that control, and understanding what happened to you as a child in an entirely different way, but not wanting to have the burden of that those struggles and some of that emotional memory imprint in terms of holding you back from understanding your true identity and who you are, and being able to use forgiveness as a tool was able to help you, it sounds like, be able to disconnect from some of that early childhood, again, messages of abandonment and some of the other emotional struggles, and then the bullying through school and some of the memories you have of that, being able to unburden yourself from some of that and get through some of that, deal with some of that. It sounds like forgiveness has been very helpful and beneficial and effective for that.
Absolutely, Marty. You know, we come to every day of our lives with this huge amount of baggage that we're carrying. And, you know, our past is going to continuously chase us until we face it. And when we get to the root cause, whether it's that of intention, of unawareness, or just habitual rituals that they were exposed to, we still carry that baggage on today. And we are the only creatures that don't learn immediately from our mistakes. Give you an example, you know, a dog tries to walk across the field and he sees a little muddy water. He taps his paw into it and he won't do that again. He will walk around it because he learned that immediate lesson that that's not a space he wants to walk in. But you and I, unfortunately, as humans, we are those of emotions. And when, like you said, with your experience through trauma, it takes a lot to overcome that trauma, because words and experiences can either be trophies or trauma. And when we are able to recognize that, it takes a lot of power, it takes a lot of strength. And another misconception that we have is when we become vulnerable, we become weak. And it's not that at all. When we become vulnerable, we become aware and we become strong.
So using vulnerability as a strength, mm-hmm. and really an understanding, an authentic attunement to who a person is, an individual is, without having the burden of, again, the shame or the trauma or the anxiety, the fear, or anything else that may have come with a previous emotional experience. And the process of forgiveness can really be that bridge of being able to, again, unburden oneself and a transformation, if you will, from being that the impact of the trauma. And again, having that be such holding a person back so much from, again, becoming who they are and who they can be, to being able to advocate for oneself and empower. Again, you talk about that power and take control moving forward, to be able to use tools to be able to get through some of that. And forgiveness certainly is an important piece of that, because by forgiving and unburdening, there's a huge energy force that we're able to disconnect from. And a lot of times it's that energy force that's impacting the story that we're telling ourselves as to who we are and what our identity may be. And certainly we can take control of those thought patterns, and we can start to use and be very intentional about changing thought patterns and our identity. And certainly forgiveness is a way to do that, is a way to be very intentional. And it's not easy to go through the process. And I know in connecting with people, I know it's not necessarily a smooth linear process at times. A lot of times you move forward and, you know, fall back a little bit. You have more challenging days where the emotion can overtake. But to realize that it is a journey. And again, sometimes support is needed to get through that journey. But the value of being able to stick in there and be able to use forgiveness as a tool, again, to get that burden off, that it's for us, that it's for the individual to be able to remove that negative energy force.
Absolutely. And you know, as a trauma specialist, unfortunately, their behaviors and their reasonings behind whatever they do may not be in their conscious. It may be just to be a habitual ritual of their environment or something that they've been exposed to or a victim of. And when I was in the social work and psychology realms and the industries, going to the prisons, going to the homeless shelters, going to the jail cells, going to the, you know, severe, you know, psychiatric wards, you know, I would sit down and talk to individuals, meet them eye to eye, and try to have a conversation as if I was having one with you. And I remember coming home, and with respect to confidentiality, I was just like, you know, I met this amazing person, although they have a felony, or they have, you know, been convicted of murder or pedophilia. The immediate reaction of the individual is like, how dare you speak to a monster? And I said, you know what? How dare you make a judgment? For you've never walked in their shoes. You don't know what it was like. And I was able to embrace and really be grateful to hear their story, that they've been exposed to this behavior and victimized since at a early age. And they didn't know any better. And as you go back to the science, like you said, the mindset and the conditioning of what we are known, it's hard to break those habits. It's hard to break reality from it. If you've been abused your whole entire life, you feel deserving of it. You feel that anything that is better than that, that you're not worthy of. And so that has really enhanced my ability to understand individuals at their root core and tapping into their mindset, tapping into their thoughts, and understanding why they do what they do, and where did they lead? Where did this lead them to? And truth be told, a lot of them felt regret. A lot of them felt remorse. And they can't even imagine that they could do that to another human being. However, the severely ill didn't even know they were doing it. And this is the mindset that we have to understand with effective communication, effective listening. We have to meet the individual eye to eye and see where they're coming from, resonate with their story. Now, although I may not know what it's like to be in that condition, in that household, in that lifestyle, but truth be told, I am aware of abandonment. I'm aware of abuse. I'm aware of fear. I'm aware of laughter. I'm aware of loss. I am able to equate with each individual's emotions. I can have the experiences. They may not be similar. They may not be the same, but I know what it's like to be hurt. And when we tap into that realm of the emotional and the thought process, as opposed to the actual act of what was done, then we can have a better understanding and really shift gears to help those individuals in need and allow them to say, you know what? It's a horrible thing that I have done, but I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I wasn't thinking consciously. And if I was, that was all I was exposed to.
You share a very trauma-informed perspective, because I hear you really looking at people, even those who may have committed some heinous crimes, but really shifting to a more trauma-informed perspective about not what's wrong with you, but what's happened to you to cause you to behave this way, and to look back into someone's story and their prior history, prior relationships, and realizing that a lot of that has impacted who they became. And now to be able to hold space for them, Andrea, and allow them to tell their story is part of the healing process of being able to make sense, even in horrible situations, you know, horrible crimes and behavior like that, to be able to hold space for someone and look at them differently in terms of a human being and the humanity of that, and allow them to go through the process of healing and understand and feel some of the remorse or some of the other emotions that may be connected to their behaviors. But to support someone like that and to help them through that process can be very effective in terms of understanding how their prior traumatic experience has impacted who they became and their behavior. And I'm also hearing that some of the emotional struggles that perhaps you experienced and have identified have empowered you to then understand someone else's struggles, not maybe specifically, but to understand the burden, the impact of those struggles and how that, what that may look. And really, again, holding space for them and allowing them to tell their story is such a vital piece of that journey of healing.
Yes, and that's the key. And if we are able to do that with everyone we come in contact, I truly believe there will be decreased conquer and divide, more rise and unite, for the allow the individuals to share their story, to say, I've been there, this is what I've done, I'm not proud of what I've done, but I've learned my lesson, and I'm here to be a person to someone who's younger or going through it now. And that's what I try to always keep in mind. You know, I try to make sure any experience that I have throughout my life, that I'm able to remember where I've been, remember and reflect on that occurrence, because that's what's going to make it real. That's what's going to make it true. And that's what resonates with people, because, you know, we judge people by their cover every single day. We're labeled, we have stigmatisms, we get the likes buttons, and we're grateful. We get that one dislike or one that comment, and it tears us down just as quick. And what I always say is, you know, you could have 99 people supporting you, and then that one person that is against you or disagrees with your mission, your message, whatever it may be, and not agree with you, you're going to consume that energy and take it upon yourself. And my mission as an accountability coach is to say, sure, they may not agree with you. They may not disagree. They may not agree with what you're saying or your message. But use that energy and reverse it to be fuel to maybe deliver your message a different way. If you have the power and courage to approach that person and say, you know, what was it about my statement or my comment? Be brave to get their perspective, because that's going to be another level of education and knowledge to help you deliver your message. You know, I did a video the other day, and the thumbnail on the video was, you know, my mentor some time ago had said, you know, you could have the best cuisine ever, but if it's served on a dirty plate, that speaks volume. And it's true. Your message can be so powerful, so impactful, but if you're not aware of your audience, if you're not aware that there's different individuals on how they learn, how they interpret things, some people are stuck and take everything personal. And it has to be your strength, your courageousness to make sure your message is delivered clearly.
You describe very specifically resilience, Andrea,
right?
Really understanding how prior experience, even though it may be challenging, traumatic experience, can help someone be stronger and face the next challenge and understand and have different perspective, have a different level of wisdom and insight, perhaps, and being able to use perhaps adversity to become a strength, pulling out some of the pieces of that can make us stronger, and realizing and have others, individuals realize, I know you do help a lot of other people come to this understanding that they can stand in their power and they have the power to move forward with their lives. And again, the resilience of being able to bounce back and be stronger from adversity, again, can be a huge strength.
Yes. And it's amazing you mentioned adversity. I have a friend that I've met through my journey, and he has overcome adversity. He dealt with a terminal condition where they had pretty much said, give him a timeline, and he faced it and he overcame it. And he is successful, and he's a great friend of mine, Nelson Beltichar, the positivetrip.com. And I look at my life and I was like, wow, I've been through so much. I can't even know if I can go anymore. And then I look at his life and I was just like, not to compare, but it could be worse and it could be better. There's always someone above, you know, in a better situation or a worse situation. Until you get grounded and be planted in your own, you know, space and say, you know what, I want to look at that, you know, like I believe it was Steve Jobs, look at the connect the dots back and see where they brought you. And you had to overcome those obstacles to bring you to where you are right now. And you know that as a trauma coach, you know, like you said before, briefly, you know, when we see what we've been through, that unleashes the champion and warrior within, like, well, you know what, I can accomplish the next. Not that you're asking for obstacles, but you see how far you've come. You still have got time on this earth. They're not done with you. You don't know your expiration date. But if you live with integrity and passion and share your stories to help others, that's going to be longevity and the legacy you leave for others.
Now, as we both know, yes, it's so inspirational, but that journey is sometimes a challenging one. And tools can help get us through that. And can certainly when we talk about healthy anger tools or any type of emotional regulation tools to help us keep us into a calmer place, a more focused place, rather than allowing the emotion to overtake our thinking. And we start to understand individually what tools we may need to get us through this journey and have great support from professionals like you to help us with that understanding and awareness. But when we talk about specific tools and the tools of forgiveness, let's get into some of the specifics. Now, again, certainly want to maintain confidentiality with some of the people that you've worked with, but in terms of in general, how do we help someone move from a belief system where they may think that forgiving is allowing the other person off the hook or somehow condoning behavior rather than helping them shift to a healthier perspective? Again, a healthier understanding that forgiveness is about them and releasing the burden of that negative energy. What are some of the first things you say to someone or help someone to kind of shift their perspective and their mental outlook on even the definition of forgiveness in terms of its benefits?
Absolutely. Great question. It is amazing when I work with individuals because, for example, there was a situation where somebody had this belief system that they were underappreciated, they were not recognized, they were not loved, that they were maltreated and mistreated, and at a year early age. So that set them up for mistrust, that set them up for, you know, that they're not worthy, that every time they got some sort of critique or some sort of judgment call, they revert back to that incident. And through the healing power of forgiveness, I educate and help people through different steps, self-awareness, self-discovery. You know, when we are able to really figure out who we are and interrogate those around us, our colleagues, our family members, our friends, it's not an easy pill to swallow, but how do they perceive you? And then if you disagree with that, be courageous enough to say, well, what led you to that conclusion? And if you'll find the linear passage, that they may see these underlying traits. And then when you do a self-reflection and they give you examples, that's when we go deeper dive into the root cause. Well, when did you have this thought process? When did you have this belief system? And in this circumstance, we were able to realize this was all fabrications of the mind. This was all delusions that were portrayed because of the abandonment down the road. And that the whole time that they felt unloved, unappreciated, and disrespected, and not connected was a manifestation of the abandonment act. So you can have an incident that occurs. For example, I'll use myself, abandonment from my parents putting me up for adoption. But then your mind goes into this wormhole and manifests and creates all these delusions. Well, I'm not worthy. That's now a belief of mine, that I'm not grateful. I'm untrustworthy. I'm not loving. I'm not deserving. I'm not good enough. And self-esteem, confidence gets all damaged. And when we are able to use our tools, and we all have them in our toolbox, each and every one of us, it's just like I said earlier in the show or beforehand, it's how we understand what the tool does and use it properly. And in doing so, you know, we go through the self-awareness, self-discovery, then we go into the mind over matter. And that's a huge component because thoughts become things. And I use this as a childhood example. You're with a group of kids on the playground and somebody goes, you know what? I'm hungry. Few minutes later, well, I'm hungry. Few minutes later, now everybody's hungry because they've portrayed that vision, image, and characteristic in you. same thing goes from trauma. Same thing goes from when you get hurt from someone. You adopt those behaviors and you make them valid. Whether or not they are or not, that's when the mind over matter and words and thoughts can either be weapons or wisdom. And that's what we have to be careful of how we utilize our thoughts. And as you mentioned, emotions are the most prominent thing in everything we do today. Because if we have a low vibration and a low energy, unless we are able to change that channel, that will dictate and, you know, predict and lay out the rest of your day.
So really changing the belief system, if I'm hearing you, Andrea, is about getting down into the memories and the imprint from prior experience, because the brain will tend to take those experiences and generalize things. Absolutely. Belief systems, and that then the story that an individual starts to tell themselves, they're not worthy, and the different toxic beliefs that were based on specific situations but became generalizations. And how do we get people to disengage and disconnect from those generalizations to get back to figuring out who they are? And I'm hearing thinking patterns, thought patterns, getting into a different mental mindset, a mental state, and even a theory of mind about who we are and how we connect to others and our place and our outlook in terms of the world, and really helping people change those thinking patterns and that story that they're telling themselves, because they can stand in their power. And actually, if we take it to a neurobiological conversation, we would actually see changes in the brain. When the thinking patterns change, we would see new connections and new neural pathways. And so realizing the benefits, and forgiveness can be part of that changing of the story and that mental model and the theory of mind, and really the value and part of the journey of getting there in terms of the healing is to being able to, again, forgive ourselves and to forgive others and change those thinking patterns that are based on those early belief systems on situations that we couldn't control necessarily. We didn't have the power and control. Now as adults or as individuals, as we progress, we have the power and control to be able to change those thinking patterns. And that is really, and I so appreciate, I'm grateful that you shared that, is how we change belief systems. Yes. Is to really connect people to get out of the generalizations that their brains are making and to start thinking differently to change those brain connections.
Absolutely. And I had a conversation with a friend earlier in the week, and you know this as a trauma specialist, there's an actual science behind this. The first 2 months of life and the first 7 years are the most prominent, that the first 2 months is whether or not you experience trauma and what's going on. And then the next 7 years is the nature and nurturance. And a lot of times, if we have trauma so severely, it affects the frontal lobe. And that's something that we have to figure out how to rewire and change. And if we're not educated and knowledgeable about that, we're constantly blaming ourselves for every single thing that we do. And this came to my mind because a few weeks ago, as you know, the tropical storm is, you know, a brewing, but a few weeks ago we had a lightning and thunderstorm, and my entire life I was terrified. I will go into a fetal position, shake, and just wince every time. And my husband would always joke, and he said this last time, and he was just like, "I don't understand. You're an adult. What is going on?" And it was at that moment that I realized, you know what? My first 11 months on Earth was during the war-torn drug zone era. Explosions, you know, war, you know, killing, violence, everything, yelling, screaming, crying. That's all I known. So if you equate the analogy, the metaphor of lightning and thunder, it's the same sound effects. And so I was able to tap into that. And we'll see how the next time a storm comes, I don't know if I'll be that fearful anymore, because I was able to now I understand why I do what I do, or why I don't do what I do. And that's all the key process in forgiveness. Understanding the root cause, understanding whether it was intentional or not, And most importantly, we are, like I said, we're the only creatures that live in our past. And once we are able to learn from our past, live in the present, then the future is golden going forward.
So that was a huge aha moment for you to be able to connect your past with current behavior. And that's a huge piece in terms of trying to move forward and making those connections in terms of empowerment. But we're not necessarily stuck in that. We're not necessarily, you know, into that understanding and that belief system and being able to make changes and using forgiveness, again, for ourselves and for others can be a big piece of that. Now, Andrea, moving back to some of the more specifics of forgiveness. Now, if just as an example, if I'm going to try to forgive someone that has caused me some adversity, challenges, has been maybe a perpetrator in my life of some emotional trauma, and I'm trying to go through the process, and I feel that emotion, that strong emotion towards that person, but now I'm, you know, sharing with you and telling my story, and you're sharing back with me that it's going to be a benefit, and I'm realizing the benefit. So cognitively, I'm understanding that forgiving is a good thing for me, but I'm still feeling that emotion. Emotionally, I'm still feeling confused or even conflicted or even stronger towards that other person. And so being able to reconcile and going through a process of perhaps decisional forgiveness and then emotional forgiveness and what that looks like in terms of deciding that I need to forgive, but how long is it going to take me to stop feeling the stuff that I'm feeling?
Great question. And I encounter this all the time when I'm working with individuals and guiding them. You know, at times people may not have the courage, may not have the energy, may not have the willpower. And it's okay. My suggestion, my recommendation that I usually do is just getting it down on paper. Exertion, those energy, that negativity, those feelings, those emotions, and you'll see in due time, it's going, and I tell everybody this, grab a box of tissues, because when we tap into this subconscious and conscious effort to make a choice, and that's what's the blessing of human beings. We have a choice every single second of our lives to go right or left, whether it be conscious or subconscious, it's going to have a rippling effect. So if they are still, they see the benefits, they see the light at the end of the tunnel, but they're not ready or they're not willing, or they don't even know how to begin, my suggestion, the tool, is taking out a piece of paper and pencil and just writing it down. Free writing, therapeutic writing, and just writing down every single emotion, every single incident. It will be painful. It will take some time. And then at the end of that, read it back to yourself. And in the signature line, you're going to say, most importantly, I'm grateful that I have the awareness of what has occurred. And I'm most ready to forgive myself for allowing this to follow me this long. And now with the knowledge and awareness, I know not to give permission to let this happen again.
I'm hearing creating a forgiveness journal to be able to actually get our thoughts out and work through some of those emotions by journaling, by writing some things down. And even if someone is not necessarily ready to take some of those initial steps of forgiveness, whatever that may look like for them, being able to grab a piece of paper, pencil, or even maybe on your phone and dictate some way of actually journaling and capturing that to be able to go back and reflect on an individual basis about that, and how powerful of a tool, Andrea, that could be to start a forgiveness journal. And we've shared in terms of healthy anger tools, journaling can be a great tool in different ways of working out some emotional stuff, if you will. But a forgiveness journal, I'm feeling like that's just such a great way to connect with inner feelings without having to expose necessarily as a first step, right, what that may look like to the others around that person.
Right. And also too, I mean, I know I was in this mindset at one time in my life. If you don't feel comfortable writing stuff down, if you still have that paranoia, what if somebody sees it? What if the person lives in my home and sees that? A therapeutic tool is the universal language of music. Mm-hmm. Create a playlist, whether it be binaural sounds or of different genres of music, really engulf yourself in the lyrics of music and escape with that, because that's going to release the endorphins of, you know, the energy, the vibration. You know, you can, you know, just like you're going on a road trip, you can wear, you can have somebody, if you're going to the islands, play Bob Marley, to the Beatles, to Yanni, to Michael Jackson, to classical. Music is a universal language, and the artist and composer and musicians tap into that area of your body that's spiritual. So if you do not feel comfortable journaling, try that route, because it's just therapeutic as well, because you'll be able to consume yourself in the lyrics of the song as well as the melody, and it's a releasing component.
Absolutely. Wow. So another healthy anger tool, the value of music in terms of emotional regulation and getting those emotions out, connection, and really being able to move forward in terms of working out some of the emotional challenges or struggles or confusion that someone may be going through. But again, focusing again on forgiveness, Andrea, for someone now that we're changing, I'm changing my belief system. I know to forgive is valuable to me. Again, I'm going to suggest what you're suggesting. I'm going to do a journal. I'm going to listen to some music. And now I have to actually go through the process of forgiving. And forgiveness, it may not be a verbal process, or I may not have to connect or confront the other person, but actually, if I'm in the, like you mentioned, the same household, if I work in the same space as they do, if I'm in the same neighborhood or community, and I have to see this person, what may that process in terms of in the moment things, in terms of what forgiveness may look like?
So in the moment of things, the forgiveness may be approaching that person, kind of putting aside the incident and going deeper and seeing them as a human being, seeing and focus on the areas that they have helped you, the areas that they have empowered you. Now, I know that's hard to vision, but I had an individual in my life that was of my inner circle, and there was no escaping this person. So when I redirected my focus on whether, and even, it doesn't even have to be one-on-one, you know, Marty, for example, if you have somebody in your life and they've hurt you and they've betrayed you some way or another, try to make the effort to look at what they've done before that incident. And if it's not personal to you, how have they done it to somebody else? I'll give you an example. So say the individual that has hurt you is a family member. You see that family member every time we have a celebration. You see that family every time you have a reunion or a gathering. And that family just sticks the hairs up on the back of your neck. It tightens your body. You actually get a physical reaction from that person. I challenge you for 3 seconds to change your channel and say, okay, what is something that they have done that is beneficial for someone else in our family? What if they have done that was a kind gesture to someone that I love? And when you start focusing on that, you will see subconsciously that then they will see that you're not seeing them as this image of someone who has hurt you. You see them in the light that, okay, you were the target, unfortunately, you were the victim. But the way they treated your son, the way they treated your husband, the way they treated your sister, the way they treated your aunt, the way they took care of even a pet, you know what? They're not all bad. Maybe I was the target at that time, but there is some good. And that's what we have to find out. We have to understand that humans are human beings. We make mistakes. We fall short. We fail. But if we are able to see that ounce of light, ounce of kindness, even if it's opening a door, you even if you're in a crowd and that person's in front of you and opens a door for someone else, focus on that. Focus on that gesture, because that energy is going to be positive energy back to you. Because when you see somebody and they bring you toxic energy and you're not aware and you haven't mastered these tools, it's going to consume you. And that's what you don't want.
So really focusing on positive regard, finding the smallest positive thing to pull out in an effort to show empathy and compassion, to really kind of pierce that that negative toxic energy that's blowing up and bigger and bigger and bigger. By offering empathy and compassion, we can kind of deflate that a bit. And that helps us. That's not necessarily letting them off the hook per se. That's really helping our mindset and our thinking patterns in terms of understanding that individual. And again, understanding maybe they're bigger than the one incident that I was involved with them, but also to understand that the energy that's caused is not important enough. It's not something that's a priority. If I'm going to move forward and I'm able to offer some empathy and compassion on some level, it helps me as well, because then I can release some of that negative energy.
Absolutely, 100%. Now, I'm not saying go up to that person and hug them. Go up to that person, say, you're amazing. It doesn't even have to be verbal. They don't even have to be aware of it. It's your mind, your mindset, your thoughts. You know what? They did me wrong. I know what had happened. I'm not going to let it again. But I'm going to change my shift, my channel for my well-being, my health, that it's an incident. It happened already. You can't change it. But the more you're focusing on it, the more it's coming back and back again, and you're reliving that emotion. And that's what we have to be aware of.
And so important on the journey of healing. If we're going to stuck in that rut, stuck in that pothole of emotion where we're never getting out of it, it's going to certainly impact our progress in terms of moving forward. And then really, Andrea, what you're describing is just a huge piece to be able to mindfully, even if it's mentally, be able to shift in terms of our perspective, almost sometimes reframe what's happening in a situation, again, for our own benefit to be able to move forward. And then we'll help us, hopefully, that individual move from the decisional forgiveness to the emotional forgiveness, where we actually cannot feel as much when we run into that person. You know, over a period of time, when we build up that resilience and we start to offer some measure of positive regard, some empathy, some compassion, maybe we reframe whatever we're doing to change the story, the emotion tends to subside over a period of time, because now we're thinking differently and the thoughts start in the cognitive part of our brains and then move down. And so realizing that changing those thoughts will actually then reduce and bring down the emotional piece.
Absolutely. And, you know, it could be, like I said, it could be a weapon or a trophy, because if you don't face it, that minute incident, how many times have you walked into a room and you got this vibration from somebody and you don't even know that person, but in your mind, or you'll say to someone that's with you, you know, they remind me of this person. You're bringing it back here. You're attracting it because you have not crossed that barrier that was an isolated incident. You've become aware. And that could be problematic for when you're interviewing, when you're going for a job, when you're looking for a spouse, when you're looking for a friend. That minute incident might be in the priority, in the forefront. And if they have that similar attribute, you're not even giving them a chance. When in reality, you haven't diffused or subsided that trauma per se.
And that really takes the power and control out of our hands when we're transferring to someone else that we just met or we don't know. And it's perhaps triggering some memories or some ideas of previous experience. And again, forgiveness will allow that. That's the negative energy balloon. That's what needs to be released so that as we move forward and create new relationships, get into new opportunities, that we're not constantly reliving some of those memories. And forgiveness can certainly help us do that.
Absolutely.
So moving back to your organization, thank you. I mean, we certainly took the deeper dive into forgiveness as a healthy anger tool. Now, in terms of your day-to-day and how you're supporting people, I know and you've got some great experience in terms of your background, but in terms of how forgiveness, is this the first go-to that you go to many times in your conversations with people? Do you build up the trust, safety within the relationship, and then we move on to forgiveness? What does that actually look like for you and your organization?
Absolutely. So what we do is we have a conversation just like we're having here. I get to understand. And like I said, my mission is not to lecture and dictate. I learn, listen, and love. And I learn from individuals by effective listening, effective communication, and reflective listening. And I have an idea of what you want to accomplish. You have goals, tasks, and dreams. However, when you are able to list the barriers, that's when we understand, okay, well, what is it that is a barrier? And why aren't you progressing at this level? And then when we, you know, our journey together, that's when we take a deeper dive. We dissect it. Okay, this is what you want to achieve. Let's figure out strategical and measurable, realistic timelines and how we're going to go about this. But at the same token, we are using the healing power of forgiveness to understanding our behaviorisms, our mannerisms, why we do or don't do what we do. And as we're sharing the stories and the experiences, we are able to tap into our subconscious and bring it to the conscious of, okay, these are, like you, I love that you said this, these are the triggers, these are the offsets, these are the MOs that are going to make us decide what has been our blockages up to this point and how can we eliminate them and find another way. And in life, there's not only one way. There's more than different ways that we can go about it. And when we tap into our self-awareness and we are able to understand ourselves, then we are able to move forward and use the healing power of forgiveness to overcome those obstacles.
And so how does someone get in touch with you, Andrea, if they want to try to connect and talk about and share their story?
Sure, absolutely. They can reach me at andreamasons.com, found on my website, and you can email me there with healthy anger tools so I know where you're coming from, and I'd be more than happy to connect with you and, you know, begin your journey. I am also on all platforms of LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook as well.
So grateful. Thank you so much for joining us on the Healthy Anger Toolbox. And I will be following up with you because I think in terms of forgiveness, there's a lot of connection and a lot of sharing in terms of support and helping people move forward. Thank you, Andrea.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. An honor and privilege. And let's keep doing and making this world a better place. Absolutely.
Join me for more healthy anger tools at healthyangertoolbox.com.